The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. I received a communication, an email from an individual who has been participating in these series and raised what I think is a very interesting question, which probably needs some clarification or re-clarification, if it has been already clarified. That is, we talk about bitochon, we're learning about bitochon. It's quite clear from everything we've learned in the Chovos HaLevavos that the yesod of bitochon is the realization that Hashem is in control of everything. Hashem decrees everything that happens. Everything is, in fact, from Hashem. He's intimately involved in everything that goes on in the world. He cares. He has rachmonis, and he pays attention to every need and every detail and every yearning and craving that we have. What may not be so clear, or does not seem so easily understood, although there's been references to it and inferences and indications in the Chovos HaLevavos, is how exactly does it work? I guess maybe the age-old question, as it's been, I think, filtered down to us, is: are we speaking about a bitochin which says that I trust Hashem is going to help me, is going to provide, is going to protect me, is going to heal me, is going to give me my parnosa or my needs, or me, maybe even as Rabbi Saul Salanta said, my luxuries? Or is it rather a bitochin that says, I trust that Hashem is in control of everything, as the Chazon Ish writes, a mikra lefunov, no accidents, nothing happens b'mikra, without divine design from Hashem, and therefore I'm confident that I'm in His hands and He's going to take care of me, and I trust Him to take proper care of me and to do that which is proper and that which is right and that which is just and that which is best for me, and that is what gives me the coveted state of menuchas hanefesh, which everyone agrees is what the Baal Bitochon feels, and that is a sense of peace of mind, of tranquility, that everything's fine, I got no problem. But is it that I have no problem because I know the solution is forthcoming, or is it rather I have no problem because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, and therefore everything He does is for the good, and there are no accidents, and I rely on Him to do it as He sees fit? So this is really a question that that bothers a lot of people. And it's not a simple question, and there seems to be a lot of information that has to be analyzed in order to understand this and come to some conclusion. I think there's one treatment of this issue in the Sefer HaMaspik Lo'ivdei Hashem, I believe that's what it's called, the Sefer. It's written by the son of the Rambam, or Rav Avrom ben Rambam. And he has there a whole Maimar on Bitochin. And here he basically says over there that there are different levels. And the simplest, the lowest level, is one who just knows that everything is from Hashem and there is no such thing as an accident. That's something that's very basic. And there is a certain level of menuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind, tranquility that comes from that, because what am I worried? He's in control. There's no accidents. Everything is controlled by Him. I certainly rely on Him that He knows what He's doing and He does what's appropriate. That gives me that sense of tranquility and menuchas hanefesh. He does indicate that there's another level where he calls it actually almost a prophetic kind of a thing, that something from within announces to me that it's going to be good. Everything's going to work out. I'm going to have what I need. I'm going to have what I desire. I'm going to be protected. I'm going to get it. It's going to happen the way I would like to see it happen. It's almost like some type of just an inner feeling that comes forth. And he says there's another level, there's a higher level, where I know it's all from Hashem, but even beyond that, like, I so trust his justice and his righteousness and his kindness and his caring and his love and his mercy that makes a difference to me what he does. As the Gemara says about David HaMelech said, Chesed u'mishpot o'shiro. I'll say Hallel, the Gemara says, Al Chesed o'shiro, v'al mishpot o'shiro. I'm going to sing Hallel when you do Chesed for me, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to praise you when you do Mishpot, when you punish me, because it's all the same thing to me. I so trust you, I have such confidence in you that it's irrelevant. Now, that's a level that's certainly beyond many of us, because it is relevant to us, and we do want our parnosa, and we do want the refuah, and we do want the Yeshua, and we do want things to go, well, we're not really on that level, and it's not so poshut how many people were on that level, or how many people were always on that level, because there are times when we have other considerations that even if a person could be on that level, but he knows he has what to do, he has work to do in this world, he has mitzvahs, he has an achrayus, and he has responsibilities, and therefore, so that's the issue. It would seem, it seems to me that even though, and I do have on good authority that the many Gedolei Olam, some that I've spoken to, or that others have spoken to, agree with this pshat in the Chazon Ish. Even the Chazon Ish, which is quoted, the Chazon Ish in the Emuna Bitochen at the beginning says there's an old mistake that has taken root in the minds of people, that the concept of bitochen is that when you face a not yet determined future, that for sure it's going to be good, for sure it's going to work the way I want. And he says this is not what bitochen is, because he asked the question, mi yodea mishpatei Hashem, who knows what Hashem has in mind, who knows what's just, who knows what's right, who knows whether you deserve this type of treatment or not. And one would seem from that that he says, that's a toast. It's a toast to think it's going to be good for sure. It's a mistake. Truth be told, at the end of the whole Maimon on Bitochen, the Chazon Ish himself says this, Yesh oid mi vidas ha-bitochen. There is another kind of Bitochen where just something from within just tells you that it's going to work out. So it sounds like he also dealt with both. And most people feel that what he's talking about is madregas. In other words, there's a higher madrega where a person feels that something is for sure going to take place. There's a lower, the lower level, like the Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam says, is that it's just ein mikra lefonov. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is from Hashem. But it even seems in the Loshan a little meduik, he says that the tos is in the musag habitochen kichoyv olehamin. Like that it's an obligation to feel and to believe that it's for sure going to be good. And it would seem that maybe what he's saying is that this is the toes. It's not a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv for a person to be on that level of bitochen that I know for sure that Hashem's going to help me. That's a madrega. That's something to achieve that brings you closer to Hashem. As you get closer to Hashem, you're more ready to achieve that level. But it's not necessarily what you should or what you must be feeling. And then he says it's another level that goes even higher, where a person actually feels that, and that level exists, but he said it isn't the chiyuv. The chiyuv is just to know the basics of mi yodea mishpatei Hashem, and ein mikra lefonov, there's no mistakes, there's no accidents, everything happens from Hashem. Now, the truth of the matter is that it seems that the Chofetz Chaim, because when he speaks, the Chofetz Chaim, when he speaks to soldiers, and he, in one of his svarim, he talks to the soldiers that are in the army, and he explains to them they should have bitochen, and that they're going to return, they'll be well, they'll be saved. It sounds like the Chofetz Chaim may hold that even this level, a person can be obligated, or at least should be directed to feel. And that might be a question in terms of the basic direction. Should we begin the process of bitochen? I guess everyone would agree it begins at that point, but is the emphasis is on that in mikra lefonov, everything is in the hands of Hashem, therefore you need not worry? Or can we take it for people, and even most people, and say that you can really reach levels that say that you, where you can feel that it's going to work out for the best? And it does seem that was an accepted approach. The story goes, well-known story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It also has another profound lesson that says that the person said he needed $10,000, whatever, ruble, whatever, and he, Rabbi Yisrael said he should buy a lottery ticket, one of these tickets where you could keep on winning, you know, and says, have 100% bitocha that you're going to win. Weeks go by and he doesn't win. He's a little bit distraught. He comes back to Rabbi Yisrael. He says, I had bitochen, and it doesn't happen. He says, you still have bitochen, 100% you're going to win. He says, yeah, I have 100% bitochen, I'm going to win the 10,000 ruble. So he says to him, will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 ruble? And he says, yeah, for sure. He says, you see, if you had 100% bitochen, you never would have sold that ticket for less, because you know, you're sure 100% you're going to win. The terrace is, we fool ourselves. We talk, we sing, as the Chazon Ish says, the song of Bitochen. We do lip service to it. It has to be heartfelt. I am sure, I don't hesitate, I'm not worried. There's only Minuchas HaNefesh, there's no daiga, there's no concern, there's no misgivings, there's no nervousness, because I know for sure. Even to the extent that David HaMelech says, V'ani b'chastech obotachti, Yogeli b'mishu'asecha, so the Evan Ezra says, V'ani b'chastech obotachti, Hashem, I trusted in your kindness, so much so, Yogeli b'mishu'asecha, Uleman zeh habitochen, because I have that bitochen, I'm going to rejoice. And it sounds like I'm rejoicing now with the bitochen. I can even be molei simcha because I'm sure it's going to happen. O shiro l'Hashem ki gomel alai. Halel. That's a higher level. That, as the Brisker Rav, I think from his father, Reb Chaim, used to say, that's only ki gomel alai. Halel, the level of saying halel, praising Hashem in the fullest, can only be after the fact, when it has actually happened. Once it happened, there's a different depth of feeling of appreciation, which is even beyond the sense of appreciation that a person has when he's sure that it's going to happen. He can even be happy, but the fullest appreciation only comes later on. So there's certainly basis for this concept. In fact, it seems from the Ramban and other Rishonim that they say, Kol habayteach mamin. Everyone who trusts in Hashem has to be a mamin. If you don't believe in Hashem and in His powers and His involvement and His caring and in His control, then you can't have bitachon. What am I trusting? But lav kol hamamin b'yteach, but not every mamin trusts Hashem, because mi yodea mishpatei Hashem. This is Shemagor Machet. Who knows? He says, I believe in Hashem. I believe in His powers. I believe in His care, but maybe I don't deserve it. And therefore, He's not delivering for me. Sounds like that when he feels maybe I don't deserve it, and therefore He's not delivering, he's not a Baal Bitochen. You love kol habiteach mamin, because mi yodea mishpatei Hashem. Every boteach is not necessarily every love kol hamamin. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Love kol hamamin boteach. Not everyone who believes is trusting, because Shemagor Machet sounds like, if I am afraid, Shemagor Machet, I'm not a boteach. I'm not having bitochen. I say bitochen means I'm trusting everything's going to be good and Hashem's going to deal with me. Now, the truth of the matter is, and we've mentioned this before, and it's certainly especially pertinent in today's difficult times, that when it comes to parnosa, there may be even some special type of a haftocha. Because by parnosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Pasuk says, Peseach es yodecho masbia lechol chai rotzu. And Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you open up your hand. And Chazal say, Parnosa is greater than Geula, because by Geula it says Hamalach Hagoel. Sometimes redemption happens through agents, through a malach, through a shliach. Parnosa is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to sustaining us, the sustenance we need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it Himself. Shenemra Peseach es yodecho umasbia lechol chayrot. So you open your hand. He does it Himself. He signs the checks. He's metapel. He personally deals with our parnosa. So there is something to be said about that in terms of Hashem deals with it directly. Umasbia, and He satiates. We're not just talking parnosa. He throws us a bone. Lechol chay rotzain, according, and Mefarshim learn, most Mefarshim, lechol chai rotzin, according to the rotzin of the chai. Whatever you desire. Your desire, Hashem satiates when it comes to parnoso. He satiates you according to your desires, not just according to your more basic needs. And even if you say according to the desire of Hashem, the desire is even beyond what we desire. So there certainly seems to be a haftocha. Now, when there's a haftocha, of course, it's much a promise. It's much easier for us to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth is that he promised us that if we have bitochon, he will help us, because the pasuk says, "Imras Hashem tzrufo mogein hu lechol achrisim bay." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shield to all those who put their trust in chrisim bay. The Goyin explains the difference between bitochon and chisoyin. Bitochon is response to a promise. Chisoyin is, I never even promised you. You just take refuge. Tzur chosoyvo, like a rock, that you go under the rock to protect yourself from the elements. You take refuge on your own under the rock without a promise. Tzur chosoyvo. So he says, Mogin hu Hashem is the shield from all kinds of tzoras. Lechol hachoisim boi, to everyone who puts their trust in him. So that seems to be that he will deliver for those that take refuge in him and put their trust in him. And that principle seems to apply even beyond the confines of Parnosa. The truth of the matter is that we find the power and the rightness of that type of bitochen in the Gemara about Hillel HaZaken. The Gemara says, Brochas Daf Samach, Tana Rabbonon, Maisa b'Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken walked into a city and he heard called Svocho, he heard screaming, there's a tzora there, there's a fire, whatever. And he says, Batuach ani muftach ani shein zeh b'toch beisi. I'm sure I have bitochen that this is not in my house. And the Gemara says that he's correct in that, because it brings a posuk, Mishmor lo yiro nochalim b'toch Hashem. No need to be afraid of any bad tidings if you have bitochen in Hashem. And the Vilna Goyin points out that it refers to a bitochen that nothing is going to happen. And the Vilna Goyin even says that we find that tzaddikim do suffer, so how could Hillel have such a position? And he says everything depends upon the intensity of Eimetz Halev, the intensity of the heart in the Midas HaBitochon. The person who is so intensely batuach Hashem, he's so intensely aware of Hashem's powers, Hashem's caring, Hashem's love, Hashem's involvement, and he's so confident that Hashem is going to help him, says that combination brings about that Hashem, in fact, will help him, will protect him. And there do seem to be many such indications that this is, in fact, the way it works with bitochen, and this is, in fact, the power that this bitochen has. In fact, we say it many times in a very simple level in davening. We say, "Mimkoyimcha malkeinu sofia," from your place on high, appear. V'simlei choleinu, we ask that you reign as king above us, on us, to be recognized. Why? In what merit do we ask for that? Ki mechakim anachnu loch, because we're waiting for you. The fact that we still await you, and this is 2,000 years of waiting, so there's a big schus there, you know, 2,000 years we're still waiting, but that's a schus. We're waiting for you, we're expecting it, we're counting on it, we haven't given up hope. That seems to be a schus. We say it in davening, we say Yale v'yovoy, shchidesh tonight, we say chus v'choneinu, v'rachim oleinu, v'hishienu. We say, you know, uvidvar yishuv v'rachim, chus v'choneinu, have mercy, and have chanina, have give us a free matnas chinom, v'rachi, have mercy on us, v'hishienu, and save us. Why? Ki elecho einenu, because our eyes are focused on you. That's why. Why should you save us? Why should you have rachmonis on us? We're waiting. We're focused. We're counting on you. Elecho einenu. And then it says, Kikel melech chanu v'rachamoto. And why does the Elecho einenu have such a power? Because you're Kikel melech chanu v'rachamoto. Because you're such a king of such a caring and mercy and love. And therefore, when we await for you, you respond. And this, in this may lie one of the ways of understanding how this bitochen becomes an entitlement to get the things that we're awaiting. And it seems that there's a certain level of when Elecho Einenu, then how can I let you down? You're counting on me. I didn't promise you. I didn't tell you to count on me. There's no way that you could really know that you deserve it. It may not even be for your good, but but you're counting on me. You're so sure I'm going to deliver. And in order to have the real bitochon, you're so desperate that you have nowhere else to turn. When there's nowhere else to turn, and I'm so needy, and I so desire it, and I'm so reliant and confident on you that you're not going to let me down, there's something about that that's just winning. That's when it's Eilecho Einenu, then the Keil Melech Chanun Verachum Oto responds to that desperate awaiting. That desperate awaiting when a person has no one else to turn to, and he's counting on him, and there's no way that he's going to... It could happen in any other way. You're the only one I can count on, and I'm sure, it's not logical, because logically, Shemagora Machet, like the Chazon Ish says, maybe Shemagora Machet, but there's still, I rise above it, and I say, yes, I'm not sure I deserve it, but I just know you're not going to let me down. I just feel it. And that feeling seems to be a schus. It's a connection with Hashem. It's a level of confidence and trust and connection to Hashem and dveikus b'Hashem that one is mamish connected in the mela. So that's a schus. And in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't let you down. Such a person who's so counting on me, so reliant on me, I can't let him down. In fact, I think that I saw once the Meshech Chochma says, or Mer Simcha, in the Meshech Chochma says that, what's the source in the Torah of the mitzvah of Bitochon? He says the source is with Dovaktoboy, Tveikus Hashem, clinging, connecting to Hashem, because when a person is Batuach, he's relying, he's confident in Hashem, that's the ultimate sense of connection that gives him that closeness that's beyond most anything else that he could... that he could ever begin to feel. So that may be a little bit how this process can work, and how a person can actually begin to feel that. There's a very interesting medrash, Yalkut Tehillim. It seems as Tehillim, it's either Peches or Perikches, I'm not sure, I just have a quote over here. And he says like this, Hashem Elikayishu Osi, Omro Knesset Yisrael, Hashem, the God of my salvation, of my Yeshua. Knesset Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in front of Hashem, Ein li Yeshua elo bicho. I have no place else to turn for salvation, for help, except in you. Bicho, in you. Ve'ein einai miyachalos elo lecho. And my eyes are not hoping, awaiting, except for you. I have nowhere else to turn except for you, and I have no one else to count on, and I'm not counting on anyone else other than you. And that's, I think, a very important point too, because sometimes we say, well, I have bitochon, that doesn't work. I'm counting on him, I'm relying on him, but I know if he doesn't happen, so he doesn't deliver, I got this other eights and this other eights, I'm going to talk to my this one and that one, and that's not bitochon. The bitochon is that I have no one else to turn to. I feel that I have no one else to turn to. I'm not looking. I'm not hoping. I'm not considering or imagining any other possibility. Only you. That has a koyach. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says, answers to the person who says, Ein li Yeshua ela b'cho, ve'ein eini mayachlos ela l'cho. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoyil v'chein ani moishiyacho. Because of that, well, since that's true, if you have no one else to turn to and you're only awaiting, your eyes are only awaiting me, you're not giving up on that, he says, because of that, it's not because you deserved it, it's because of those feelings of trust and helplessness with anybody else, and total trust in Hashem, ani moshiecho, shenemar Yisrael noisha b'Hashem, shua soilomim, lo yisevoyishu, lo yisikolmu, adei ad. Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, is saved through Hashem, shua soilomim, they will not be embarrassed forever. And it seems from this posuk that the Medrash brings, that the yesod of the concept of one's helplessness, and through the helplessness, awaiting only completely and totally with confidence that you are going to help me, it seems that this the schus that allows Hashem, that demands almost that Hashem does this, is because when it's leisevoshu sikol mi adayad, that we should not be embarrassed. It's very embarrassing for the Baal Bitochon to be disappointed. Put his trust in Hashem. I had no one else to turn to. My trust was absolute. When I have no one else to turn to and I put my trust in you, it's absolute. I have no other eights. There's no possibility. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. It's a very, very big embarrassment when I'm counting so much on you. And everybody knows, I guess, you know, they see that it doesn't help. It's a busha. And I guess that Hashem is responding to that busha, and he says that you may not deserve it, but you don't deserve to be so embarrassed. That busha of relying on Hashem and being so disappointed is such a busha that busha I will not put you through. And Lo Yisevoishu, because Yisrael is Neisha Ba'Hashem Tshuva Salomi forever. It's always true. If it's Ba'Hashem, if he's putting his bitochen in Hashem, because Leisevoishle say, call me Ada, they should never be embarrassed. It seems that the embarrassment that we feel is what evokes the divine mercy and says, I have to deliver, I have to give you, even though you may not deserve. And the truth of the matter is, David HaMelech, I think it's Kapitel Chof Hei in Tehillim, use that line too. He says, Elikai b'chobotachti aleivoisho al yaltzu uivayli. He says, Hashem, b'chol God, b'chol b'tachti, I have trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. Don't let my enemies rejoice. My enemies will see, yeah, you trusted him. Look what he did for you. That's too embarrassing. That's too embarrassing. I can't stand that embarrassment. The busha is nirav oyim. I may not deserve this chesed, but do I deserve such embarrassment? Or can you allow such embarrassment to someone who's truly put his trust in you? And that seems to be part of the secret, part of the yesod of how this trust actually works. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, which also seems to say a similar idea. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peites Amud Beis, Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoil V'Tilisem Atzmechem Bi, since you've put hung yourselves on me, Im Yiu Chateichem Kasholim Kasholi Galbino, even if your sins will be like red, you know, they'll become white like snow. It sounds like that the Koyach of Bitochon may work to deliver that which we want, by the Koyach HaBitochen is a force to change the to be mechaper, to atone for chatoim. It's true I've sinned, but I have chatoim, but I have such trust in Hashem. I'm trusting, I'm relying on Him. When you rely on Him, He says that I will help you, I will remove, I will atone for, I will remove your sins. And once I remove your sins, you're no longer not worthy. You become worthy, and therefore the process can work. Another Gemara in Menachos Choftes Amid Beis. Kidboy minei Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya Mirab Ami. May dichsib bitcho v'Hashem adayad. What's the pshat in the pasuk? Trust in Hashem forever and ever. Ki beko Hashem tzur elomim. Because in the ko, the yud kei, which is the Shem Hashem, is the rock, the refuge, the rock of worlds, of eternity. Omale kol ha'tele, he says, what the pshat in that posuk is, he says, kol ha'tele b'tchonav ha'kodesh boruch hu ha'reilu machase bo'ilu ma'zeh bo'ilu ma'bo. He says, a person who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem is his machase, tzur chosoyu bo'i, his refuge, his protector, in this world and the next. He will protect him from everything in every situation because he put his trust in Hashem. Pirush Rashi, Havel and Machzeh Zelu Shere Dehochi Mashmon Al Shebotchu Bashem Adayad Havu Lohem Beko Hashem Machzeh Tzur Mo'iz Lo Ilomim. Because they put their trust in Hashem, that's why they're going to get this this machaseh, this protection. So it seems that the trust in Hashem that He's going to deliver actually delivers great protection. I think that the idea is fairly clear, that there definitely is the power of the schus of one's trusting Hashem with all his heart. And I guess as we saw from the Chazal, the desperation of nowhere else to turn, because if I think I have other places to turn, the Chazalovas points this out too, if you think you have anywhere else to turn, you're not going to be able to put your full trust. Yeah, I trust, but if not, I have an Eitzah. So there's no Eitzahs, and it's total trust. It's Einenu Lechot Luyois Ad Shetchoneinu. So the posuk, actually, that posuk the Ramban brings is the basis, is the basic of the concept of tefillah. Ke eine avodim, we stand in front of Hashem as eine avodim liyado denayim, like the eyes of a servant to his master. Ke eine shivcha liyad gevirto, like the eyes of a maid servant to her mistress. Ke eineinu el Hashem elokeinu ad shichoneinu. Our eyes are focused to Hashem in desperation. And the Ibn Ezra explains that the Eved and the Shivcha don't have the koyach limoli dem lo yoshieno rabom. If their master doesn't save them, they're so psychologically, emotionally dependent upon the master. If the master doesn't save them, they have nothing. They can't do anything. They're helpless. They have nothing that's going for them. They can't do anything. Totally, totally hapless, helpless, hopeless, standing in front of the master. Kenei neinu el Hashem adukin. We stand in a hopeless state in front of Hashem, our eyes focused on Him. Ad shechoneinu, until He gives us a matnas chinom. Chein chonino means a gift, bechinom, that I don't deserve. I don't deserve it. I may not deserve it, but I'm so helpless, and I'm helpless, and I'm awaiting. And I'm awaiting ad shechoneinu, which means I'm not going to stop the focus of my eyes until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choneinu. And I think this is also a very significant concept, because the question is, you know, if we have such powers of bitochon, of course we know it's hard to access. We do feel that to the degree that I access them, as everything else in life, to whatever degree I can feel this bitochon on my level, it's to that degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. It may not be on the ultimate, I may not have the ultimate, and I may not therefore be entitled to the ultimate, but I do influence the results by the level at which, the level of intensity, of depth, of emotional feeling, I could feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in fact help me. So that is a reality. But I think that it would be important to realize that, you know, there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reserves the right to override afilo the ultimate bal bitochon, because ultimately he's in control of the world, and he cannot cede that control to anyone, because there are other infinite cheshbonos. Now, many times he could change it. It could be very well that even if the thing that I'm trusting 100% is not forthcoming, even if the thing I'm trusting 100% is not for my good, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change it. You trusted 100%, I don't want to let you be embarrassed, I have rachmonis on you, I'm not going to let you down, it wasn't for your good, I'll make it for your good. He could orchestrate that too. But there are times he doesn't want it. And I would like to suggest that sometimes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, when it really shouldn't be, is he interferes with the bitochon. He does something to shter, to interfere and to confuse and to distract the Baal Bitochon. We find that by David HaMelech, Chazal tell us that he knew he was going to die on Shabbos, and he was intensely involved in learning without allowing a break for a moment in order to ward off the terrible tragedy. But when the time came that the Malach HaMavis was going to, was supposed to get him, was authorized, permitted, whatever it was, then he did something to interfere, a little distraction, took him away from his learning, and that was enough to be able to do what had to be done. So in the Inyonim of Bitochen, I think that it works that way also, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, expects us to keep that Bitochen at its ultimate height and strengthen it every step of the way, and on the other hand, when that moment comes that he really has to override it, then he does something to distract the Bitochen. Sometimes it succeeds, sometimes it doesn't. You know, there are distractions that taka distract us, and we give in on the Bitochen, and there are some that don't. And I'd like to just conclude with two stories that I think depict these two ideas. I've heard them. I don't know where they come from, but there's a beautiful tape for those that understand Yiddish, in Yiddish, from Yontel Erlich. Yontel Erlich was an amazing singer of spiritual ballads, you know, Mamish Yisairus. He was a great Balmusser and a very Choshev Yid. And the last tape that he did in his lifetime portion, his son did some of the songs, and he did some, was entitled Bitochen. It was a masterpiece in the different nuances of the development of Bitochen. And two of the stories that he tells, they're one which shows us an insight into, you know, what it is, the extent of it, and the other one which expresses this idea of interfering. I'd just like to share them with you in concluding this discussion about the nature of and the powers of the influence of Bitochen in our lives. The first story goes that some Hasidim came along, and they asked the Rebbe. They wanted to know what Bitochen was. And he says, "Come." He took them to an inn. The innkeeper there, he says, "We'll show you what Bitochen is." The innkeeper greets them. He sets up a beautiful meal. He's very happy to have them. And before they know it, they hear banging on the front door. Two big Cossacks are there and say that the Poritz, who is the owner of the inn and the surrounding property, expects his year's payment due today at 4 o'clock, and it's 300 ruble, and if not, he's going to take you and your family and put you in debtor's prison. And the innkeeper tells him, "Don't worry, you know, don't worry. He'll get his money on time." And the people who came were very nervous. "Why don't you give him the money?" He says, "I don't have it. Why don't you borrow? There's no one to borrow from." They said, "What are you going to do?" "I have bitochen that the Rabbeinu Shalom will not embarrass me. He won't let my bitochen cause me embarrassment." Come back an hour later, the Kozakim are there again, they're banging on the door. He says, "Tell the Poritz not to worry." It comes later another time, he says, "Please tell him he'll have it by 4 o'clock. 3:30 already, the time has come, he still doesn't have a penny to his name, and he puts on his Shabbos beged, daven mincha, that this tzora should dissipate, and he goes out, I guess onto his property, and the Poritz's house was sort of at the end of his property, and he finds a little hill there, and he stands on the hill, and the Hasidim are watching from the distance, and he's waiting from where the Yeshua is going to come, confident, totally confident, benuchas nefesh, not worrying, Hashem will not embarrass him, he's going to be able to pay the Poritz by 4 o'clock. All of a sudden, they see a rider comes by with a wagon, and they start to talk, and first it looked a little bit positive, but then no, they shake their heads and the rider goes away. And then the rider comes back another time, and again, and it seems it's a few minutes to 4, and he walks again. Maybe the rider came a third time, and then he's walking into the Poritz's garden and right into, ready to step into his house. It's 4 o'clock exactly. The rider comes back again. He gives him, counts money out to him, gives it to him. He goes in, he pays the Poritz, he comes back. And Hasidim, the people are still waiting there. What happened? He says, "The rider, what went on? What happened? How'd you get the money? What was the whole story? Yes, no, what was going on?" So he says, "The rider was a farmer from the next town. He offered, when he first met me on the little hill, to buy my next year's produce for 300 ruble. The next year's produce, very unusual, nobody does that, for 300 ruble, exactly the amount I have to give the Poritz today, if not me and my family are going into debtor's prison." And he says, "I refused, because it's worth 500 ruble. I wasn't going to take the loss, because I was so confident that Hashem is not going to let me down under any circumstances." Then he came back and he said, 360. Then he came back and he said, 420. And I said each time, no, no, no. Finally, as I'm walking in, he's walking in with bitochen that Hashem is not going to let him down at the last moment. A true sign of bitochen. These were tests, but each one of these tests he passed, and he truly had real bitochen. He walks in. The farmer comes to him at that moment, gives him the 500 ruble, and pays the porots, and that's the story. That's one story. The extent of this straight true bitochen. It's another story, a little bit of a different type, which also describes this other aspect of it, where Hashem has the potential to interfere. And that story goes about also about a Chassidish Rebbe who came to visit a younger man in a certain town that was very sick. Everybody had given up on him. The doctor said there was no hope, nothing to do. And the Rebbe says, I can't let this happen. He says, I have to try to do something for him. So he says, I'm going to work on my bitochen. I'm going to have bitochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal him. And he left and went back to his home, his town, and constantly working on his bitochen. The younger man is going to live. He's going to live. He has bitochen. He's striving, he's struggling to reach the highest levels of bitochen. He sends his gabbai every day at a certain point to the innkeeper to see if anybody came from that shtetl to find out how this younger man was doing. This is pre-telephone and everything else. One day, finally, they tell the gaboyim that, yes, there's a woman who comes from that town. She's in that room. They go knock on her door, and she says, can I help you? They said, want to find out about that younger man? And she says, the younger man is not here anymore. He passed away. They were very saddened by the whole thing, and they have to go back and tell this to the Rebbe. They didn't know how they were going to tell it to him. They come back, and finally they knock on the door, and they tell the Rebbe, the younger man is gone, it's all over. The Rebbe says, it can't be. The younger man is gesund and fine. It's all in Yiddish. He is healthy, he's fine, everything. Go back and find someone else from that shtetl and find out what happened. They go back and they find someone else from that shtetl. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem, a tremendous ness happened. He's fine, he's healthy. We saw him in shul. Everything is wonderful. So they fainted. They didn't know what happened. Yesterday, a little before, they found out he had died, and now he's gesund and fine. What's happening here? Anyway, when they revived themselves, they ran back to the Rebbe. This and that. What happened, Rebbe? The Rebbe says, they told the Rebbe what happened. He's alive. The Rebbe says, my bitochen didn't fool me. He says, I was sure, I was confident, I didn't give up hope. Then they come back later. The Rebbe should explain to them what happened. So the Rebbe says, the Malach HaMoves was fighting a bitter battle. And his goal was to interfere with my work on bitochen, with my attempt to achieve and maintain that 100% sureness that this young man was going to have a refuah. And he says that, in fact, in this part, is where the story gets, it's not exactly clear, but he says that that woman that told you that the younger man died, that was the Malach HaMoves himself. He dressed up like a woman, whatever that means, and he wanted to shter, he wanted to interfere with my bitochen, because he knew that if he was able to convince me that the younger man had died, then I lose the bitochen, and then he'd be able to take his life, because my bitochen was holding him. His life was hanging, he says, in that moment. If I had given in and lost the bitochen for a moment, that younger man would have been finished. But Baruch Hashem, I was able to maintain the strength. I refused to believe it. My bitochen was complete. And then, of course, we found out that the younger man was, in fact, fine. And I think that here we see an example, this example of an extreme bitochen in Hashem. But besides that, this method, in other words, that what could have happened is that he could have given in on the bitochen. And I dare say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon dictates that it has to happen, then he'll do something to interfere with the bitochen over here. It didn't succeed because it wasn't his cheshbon, but that's, I think, the way. But the bitochen seems to have that koyach. It's an amazing, it's an endless, it's an overwhelming power. It's a power of an emotion, almost like a prophetic emotion that comes forth from my inner feelings and confidence in Hashem's kindness and love and rachamim and involvement and caring, and knowing that he doesn't want me to be embarrassed. And that when I rely on him, then I just feel, I just know, I just sense he's not going to let me down. And of course, that creates a situation, whether it's because of the embarrassment, he doesn't want me to be embarrassed, or the rachmonis, and he responds accordingly, and it can allow me to achieve levels and accomplishments I never could have. However, we have to keep in mind that it has to be real. A person can't just say he has bitochen and fool himself and then wonder why it's not happening, as in the story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta and the lottery. But it's certainly something we should strive for, because to whatever degree we on our level can achieve a measure of true trusting and total trusting in Hashem, it's to that degree that we the events in the world.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.